My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atatula.
In the Loop, Sports Radio 610, John Lopez, Figgy Fig, and myself, Reginald Atatula, here with you. And we have a special guest. Where's number 5 in the programs? Maybe number 1 in your heart, Jalen Petrie. What's happening, my man?
Nothing, man. Everything been good. Been enjoying camp and ready to get this season rolling.
Yeah. All right, so a couple things. Obviously, you know, we've got a lot to talk about with Kids Meals and Feed 5.
Feed 5 more.
More.
Yes, sir.
But let's get to what you just said. You didn't enjoy camp that much.
I did. I honestly did. You know, during the summer and all that off time, you like the real football players, they ready to get back going. And, you know, although it is very hot and it is some hard times in there, it was still fun. And I think we grew as a team, and I'm looking forward to the season.
Mm-hmm. What for you made camp fruitful and maybe even fun? Like, what was the thing that really stands out?
I think the continuity of, you know, being with my teammates for another year, also having a couple new teammates that brought some new energy, and just the overall competitive nature of, you know, football, and just being able to go out there and compete against the best of the best. It was fun to go out there and practice against them, and now it's time to go hit up on somebody else. So it was definitely fun.
It's definitely time. Now, I want to ask you about, obviously, the big news for you on this team this year, at least from where I was sitting. We were going out to practice every day during training camp, and I didn't even see you, like, during drills with the safeties. Uh-huh. You were with the nickels. How did that come about, and embracing it? How did that happen?
So it was just a plan that Coach D'Amico had brought to me. He thought that it would be best for me to go there in certain packages to help out the team, and and I'm all for it. I don't think if y'all knew, I played a little bit of nickel in college, so it was some familiarity there, but definitely had to learn the techniques and the ways that the Texans do it. So there was a little bit of a learning curve there, but I'm enjoying it, and I'm having fun at the position.
Help us out for those of us that aren't, like, handed the dirt football guys necessarily. Like, what is the big distinction and change for you as a player from, like, playing a true safety position to being in that nickel role?
Yeah, so I would say, to keep it simple, true safety, you most of the time going to be the one all the way in the back, or you're going to be in the box sometimes here and there, but you're a little bit farther back from the line of scrimmage from where the ball is snapped and where a lot of the initial action takes place. When you move to nickel, it's more of you're always in the box. You become like a mixture between a down safety and a linebacker in the box. So you have responsibilities like covering, blitzing, fitting gaps in the run game in the box. So it's a lot of different things that you are asked to do, and I definitely think it fits my skill set. So I'm glad that coach asked me to do it, and I'm ready to go.
Yeah, that, you said that a couple of times, that it fits your skill set, and I think we would agree with that. Because at safety, and I'm very much oversimplifying this, like I'm doing this for like my granddaughter. Like at safety, I would feel like you're more reactive, whereas at nickel, you're attacking more. Not always. I know there's always, like I said, I'm oversimplifying it.
Yeah.
But that's what you do best. That's what you did best at Baylor. That's what you do best. Is that what you kind of in the back of your mind kind of always wanted it to be?
Just growing up, I feel like I've always had that, like you said, that aggressive nature to my style of play.
Mm-hmm.
It definitely lets me bring that out playing a nickel. But I also love to play safety as well, be able to go back there and read quarterbacks and be a key figure in the passing game. So. Whatever the coaches need, you know, I'm ready to go.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Jalen, you mentioned some of like your teammates, the camaraderie that you have there. Correct me if I'm wrong. It feels like there's been a decent amount of mentorship for you with Jimmy Ward, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what has that looked like for you? What's been really edifying in that?
Yeah, Jimmy is a selfless leader. You know, he does everything he can to help out the team, and I think that's what kind of enabled me to, you know, say I was all in with the nickel, because I seen Jimmy do it last year, mm-hmm. and I seen him do it in years past when he was with the 49ers. Like, whatever the coaching staff needs, he's willing to do, and he's willing to do whatever it takes to help the team win. So when you have a leader like that, it does nothing but inspires you and makes you want to do the same thing, because, you know, Jimmy's been in the league for 10 years, so he's definitely obviously doing something right. So, you know, he's a great leader in our room. And he does nothing but help us out on and off the field. You know, he's giving us game on how to save our money, ways to, you know, be in a community. He's big on all of that. So, you know, he's one of one, and, you know, I'm glad he's on my team.
Yeah.
In my position room.
We were at the Texans premiere, season premiere last week, and I was impressed with Jimmy Ward. You know, they're interviewing him up on the stage. And he said, oh, the defense is going to win games this year.
Yeah.
That's kind of the competition that's happening right there. Because I think we've acknowledged this is a really good defense. It's looking like a really good defense.
Yeah.
Is that kind of how it's going, offense, defense, right now? Like, you feel like you guys can win the games too?
Yeah, for sure. I think it's just a part about that, the part of ownership.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everybody think understanding that their piece is important.
Yeah.
So, although we do have a great offense, we do believe as well that we have a great defense as well. We take pride in our position on the team, and we take pride at, you know, holding teams to 0 points. Like, we're not trying to let nobody get anything.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that is, you know, the mindset first off with Coach D'Amico, and it does nothing but bleed into,
yeah,
you know, the team.
So within that, with this defense, one of the things that we're excited for is the possibility maybe even taking the ball away.
Yeah.
And like when you're playing safety, defensive back, just in general, that's something that, you know, is a statistic that's clearly front and center, is interceptions.
Yeah.
Like, how do you balance that with the swarm and the physicality that Coach D'Amico Ryan is obviously always asking from you?
Oh, yeah, that's the name of the game in football. You know, we're obviously, like I said, mm-hmm. We have a great offense, and we always trying to get the ball back into their hands. But the true, you know, focus of defense is to take the ball away. You know, we focus on getting 3 takeaways, and I think the swarm enables you to do that. When we're swarming at the quarterback, when mm-hmm. we're swarming at ball carriers, you know, we're getting the ball out. We're making him throw into uncomfortable situations, making him throw it a little earlier, and that's what leads to the interception. So it all ties in together, and they definitely, you know, work off of each other.
How did you process last season during the off season? Because you come in your first year, and it's like, wow, you know, interceptions, you know, plays made here and there. And then last year, I mean, I don't think I'm telling you anything that your coaches didn't tell you. They probably had higher expectations for your results last year.
Mm-hmm.
But you're back, you know, and they got high hopes for you again. How did you process just the whole first year to second year to now?
Yeah, it was a eye-opening experience. I think that everything happens for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
We had 2 different coaching staffs during that time, so just being able to understand the different mm-hmm. techniques and the ways that they want to use me
mm-hmm.
was huge with this last coaching staff. And yeah, like I said, I'm just trying to help out the team and get as much wins as we can. I'm trying to find ways to take the ball away and help out the team.
One thing that impressed me during training camp, and I just like watching the drills and who's where and all that stuff, Desmond King was working. You were talking with him all the time between reps and everything else. I mean, you know, that's competition. I mean, is that to me kind of is reflective of the swarm? We're all in this together. I mean, you guys were competing, but it seemed like you were helping each other the whole time.
No, for sure. Whoever's on the team on a defense, we understand that it is. We are competing, and it does have some competitive nature there. But we want to see everybody win, and we want to see the best guy make it out. So, big shout out to Dez for that. He was nothing but help with me in making that transition. And you know, I think that a lot of the success that I am having so far is a huge credit to him and what he's done in the past, because I continue to watch him and continue to ask questions about the nickel position to him a lot.
So, Jalen, we're talking to Jalen Petrie. It's nickelback safety for the Houston Texans. And you mentioned the idea of competition. One of the things I love about defensive backs, wide receivers, you're out on the perimeter, you get that one-on-one style. That competition comes out very evidently. Who on this team, on your offense, do you enjoy competing with the most? And maybe who around the league do you enjoy competing with?
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
I feel
bathroom?
Like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
taken
care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Yeah, on a team, I couldn't just single out one person, but I would definitely give a big shout out to Stephon Diggs for sure. He's a true competitor. Robert Woods, true competitor. Tank Dell. Like, these are guys that every time they line up in a slot, I know that I'm going to get their best routes. They're giving me the best releases. And also, it shows in their game that they're the best receivers in the game right now. The best slot receivers, best outside receivers. Whatever you want them to do, they're going to block you. Like, they're never going to take a playoff. So, it's always good to go against them, and they do nothing but helped me get better and continue to boost my confidence in terms of, you know, when I go out on Sundays, I know that the guy that I'm playing across is probably not as good as these three. So
this is true.
It definitely
this is true.
Sure.
We want to get to Feed Five more because this is a fantastic campaign that you have going on. But here we are, man. We're on the brink of Colts, and it's happening. It's starting, you know. This has been a season, and you felt it. You've been around. You've had fans. You go to the grocery store, you know. Mm-hmm. Fans are pumped up. As much as D'Amico preaches, hey, man, all we can control is today and all that, there's got to be part of you where, like, I'm feeling pretty good about this. What do you, like, big picture, how do you feel about the season upcoming?
Oh, I feel wonderful about the season, but I think personally, I'm doing a great job at honing in to the daily, like Coach D'Amico said. Mm-hmm. I try to stay off social media as much as I can. Thankfully, you know, I have people that help me out with grocery store.
I should have known that. That's my bad right there.
Pick up orders and all of that. But, yeah, I'm just trying to keep the main thing and Man. Try to keep all the distractions out, because I think when you do that, it helps you to focus on what matters most. And that's, like I said, winning games and, you know, taking the ball away as a defender. So, that's where I'm at right now, and hopefully I could just stay on that path of and mindset.
Well, we mentioned the grocery store. Making sure you eat is always super important. And, I mean, I'm interested because obviously the Feed Five More foundation that you have going in support of Kids Meals Incorporated, like, it's clearly something that is very admirable. Mm-hmm. What made this important to you to do to, help kids make sure that they get the food that they need?
Yeah, it was really important to me. I think starting off as a kid, you know, I love food. I still love food, and it can be kind of a hindrance at times with my job. But I love food. And when I came across Kids Meals and knowing that a lot of kids don't have access to simple food and healthy food, you know, it kind of, you know, it made me feel some type of way. So I was like, I definitely need to use my platform to help them out as much as I can and to just build awareness to Kids Meals. And we're doing a great job, but we definitely need to do more. So that's what I'm here for. And we're going to get that going for sure.
We want people to donate as much as they can and to help as much as they can. I saw that Group One Automotive is going to match every dollar raised up to $250,000. But for our listeners, hey, you got 10 bucks, you got 100 bucks. There is no minimum here, right? Every little bit helps.
No, for sure. Our goal this year with the Feed Five More campaign is we want to feed 55,555
right.
kids.
How did you come up with this number,
Jay?
That's five fives. That's five fives, and obviously my number is five. And I thought
five interceptions just, your first year?
Five interceptions.
Here we go. Year. See, I'm helping you out
it's
here.
It's all correlated. You know what I'm saying? So we definitely trying to feed more kids than we did last year. We was a little bit under that, I think around like 40, a little bit above 40,000 kids. So, yeah. We're trying to go up a notch and do more. So, big shout out to Group One Automotive for matching up to $250,000. And I'm going to also donate $5,000 for every interception that I get.
Okay. Look at that.
Every turnover that I get. So, punch-outs, interceptions. We're going to get this thing rolling and make sure that no kid, you know, goes hungry.
Dude, and 10 bucks, you know, for considering what you're going to be getting for these kids, I'm saying here it could be, even be up to five meals.
No, for sure. I tell everybody, if you can just skip out on the Canes trip today, on a Chick-fil-A trip, on the Starbucks drink, and just send that to Kids Meals, you're going to feed five kids today.
Done. We'll both do it, and and we'll go from there. I do have a food question, though, because we're talking a lot about food. And this might be like a little bit insensitive, since we're talking about kids that are really just wanting to eat and have good meals, but my mind goes in weird places. I always like to say the term "at your fattest." Now, you've never been fat, I'm guessing, but
I don't know about that.
But at your fattest, which fast food place and what's your order?
At my fattest, man. So it was pretty bad when I first got into college because I was away from my parents, and you know
you got that freshman 15.
You did. And I was still on the team too, so I was working out, but it still caught up to me. But a bad trip that I made was I went to McDonald's at like 10:30, 11, and I got like an ice cream and a whole tote of cookies.
The ice cream machine was actually working?
It was working. It was working. Shout out to the Waco, Texas.
And the whole
tote of cookies. I think it's like 13 cookies, which is crazy. So, yeah, that was
hey, we've all been there, man.
At my my fattest. I'm not doing that no more. I got to watch myself.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm glad that you got that together. So, okay, outside of just making sure that they're loud at NRG cheering you on so that you get those turnovers, add into the fund here, how else can people get involved? Where can they go to find more information about what you're doing here?
I think the biggest thing is just tap into my social media. I'm on Instagram. My handle is Jalen Petrie. On Twitter, I think it's Jalen Petrie 1. And I'm going to put everything out to show you places where you can donate to Kids Meals and help out the cause as much as possible. Because, like I said, we don't want no kid to starve. I'm in Houston, and I don't think a lot of people do know, but Houston, as a city in the United States, is at the top of the list in terms of kids that go hungry. So we definitely have a duty here to help out these kids, and Kids Meal is definitely attacking that head on, and I just want to help.
Well, God bless you, man. It's a great campaign.
And in addition to that, feed5more.com, also a website that you can go to. Maybe because, you know, not everybody's on social media. Maybe they're trying to, you know, keep themselves focused like you do.
For sure, for sure.
Best of luck this season, especially starting with these Colts here this weekend. Appreciate you taking a little time with us.
Yeah, but I appreciate y'all too, man.
There you go. That was Jalen Petrie sitting down with us. Kindness to do that. And, of course, the kindness of his heart is obviously very evident when it comes to the Feed 5 More initiative that he's doing in order to help Kids Meals. $10. $10 gets goes a long way. So if you can, you know, make sure that you go and do that. Feed5more.org. I know also that you can go to, what is it, kidsmeals.org. Kidsmealsinc.org.
Kidsmealsinc.org.
Those are different things.
And good on him for, you know, sort of just going right at the position chains of sorts and, you know, embracing it and talking about, you know, how this is going to be his chance to make amends, so to speak, with Texans fans.
Absolutely. Absolutely. 832 said great cause donating. So, yeah, that's appreciated as well. And there's that. And we hope that there's more donations coming from Jalen himself, because he said every turnover that he generates.
How many $5,000 hits is he going to be able to take?
Okay.
Hopefully more, a lot.
Hopefully quite a few. Yeah. That'd go a long way. And one, as you mentioned, ingratiating himself with the Texas fans even more. But then two, just helping this Texans team do what we want them to do, which is generate some takeaways. So thanks again to Jalen Petrie sitting down with us, having a conversation ahead of week one against the Colts. It's In the Loop, Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, it's about time for our lunchtime confessions, which we will do.
Sometimes it's sports, sometimes it's not. Whatever it is, Reggie and John are keeping it real. It's In the Loop's Lunchtime Confessions, brought to you by Sagamore Spirit Rye Whiskey.
These are my confessions.
All right, I'm going to do something that I hate. That's kind of a confession in and of itself, okay. But I'm going to hate myself for doing this, but I'm going to do it anyway. Those damn referees last night.
Oh, okay.
Those referees last night. Come on. They love them some Chiefs. They love them some Chiefs.
Oh, you think this was one-sided in the way they went?
Oh, hell yes. Okay. I don't care what anybody says. Let me go down a little list of things I jotted down. Who's calling timeout? The defensive coordinator? Yeah, you're not supposed to do that, but you're the Chiefs, so that's cool. You notice that?
I didn't.
Steve Spagnuolo came running down the sideline.
Did not realize that.
Called a timeout at the end of the first half. That is not legal. That is against the rules. Only the head coach in the NFL can call timeout from the sideline. Only the head coach. So there's one, all right? Five illegal formations on the Baltimore Ravens were called. And they're showing some of the highlights on TV right now, as we were a minute ago anyway, as we're watching. That wasn't. I mean, Laramie Tunsil does that almost every snap.
Well, you're going to see that is you might see some flags then. That has been something that they're trying to enforce, and it's been a focus point for them this season. Right. So it really felt like, you know how you can't start loose and then tighten up when it comes to rules. You kind of got to start.
They always make a statement.
Exactly, and I think that was the statement. They were like, "Look, we're going to let you know right off the jump.
Yeah,
better get up on that line.
All right."
Better get up on that line.
Whatever.
It was excessive.
Also, I'm not done yet. There was a roughing the princess call on Patrick Mahomes. Dude, he basically like caressed his face. Like, and they called that a roughing the passer. Apparently Juwan Taylor can leave on whenever the hell he damn wants to. Yeah. He was jumping early every time.
Yeah, he was.
And apparently it's okay to grab defensive linemen's face mask, I don't know, whenever the hell you'd like. Like, I'm not a Chiefs fan by any stretch. Uh-huh. I want the Chiefs.
Clearly.
You know, I'm not a Chiefs fan. I'm not a Chiefs hater. I respect what they've done. We talk about the back-to-back. I think they're going to win a third consecutive Super Bowl. But here's the thing, man. They can do it on their own. They can do it on their own. That was bad. That was bad last night.
Yeah,
I blame the refs.
I also think that I just generally come from a place where I'm not really gonna, you know, get too deep into the refs, because look, I also understand that there's going to be a natural amount of error within the course of this.
Yeah, it was unnatural.
There was some messing up. There was definitely some messing up.
Yeah,
they had a bad call or two against for the Chiefs as well, like one of those Patrick Mahomes on the sideline where he definitely got some physicality.
A little late hit.
And they were like, it's fine. It's cool. We picked up the
first. I'm generally like that, too. That's why it's in confessions.
I understand. Watch this. These are my confessions. I'm glad you started with this game, because I also brought up some from this game. I mentioned this to you off air earlier.
Mm-hmm.
I would very much like it. And I end up being somewhat of a Lamar defender myself. I would very much like it if Lamar Jackson's movements in the pocket weren't all so drastic. It feels like all of his movements are big ones.
Mm-hmm.
And I gotta admit, it would be nice if he got a little bit more subtle in some of those, right? Where sometimes you're not making drastic movements.
Yeah.
Kind of like CJ Stroud. Like, CJ Stroud is very good at like managing the pocket. And it's one of the things about that game that makes me excited for what's happening week one, is I want to see just how much better CJ Stroud has gotten at manipulating that pocket and managing the pocket, because he's already been pretty damn good at it.
Mm-hmm.
Just sometimes less is more. Just a slight step up.
I thought that was a really good observation by you. I hadn't quite heard it put like that. I think every time I see him make those drastic movements, as you call them, I know he's going to run. Whereas even CJ Stroud at this point, early in his career, when he makes those movements, I know he's trying to just buy time.
Well, it's funny, because Lamar Jackson, he has been trying to pass it sometimes, but sometimes just like it's bailing out of the pocket because the move is so big that now you're already kind of out of that space and now you just need to go and roll out. And sometimes I'm like, all you needed was a slight step, create another second and get that pass off. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, in an attempt to not be too defensive of Lamar Jackson, that is a place where he definitely needed some improvement in my estimation. Watch this.
Man, so I was super fired up for the season to kick off yesterday. Last night, I'm like, look, I ain't doing nothing. I'm about to watch the game. I'm chilling. I told my wife she was down for it. I kid you not, it was like the third quarter with 3 minutes left in the game. Old Unc over here was falling asleep.
No, I believe it.
Oh, man.
I was in there dozing off. I'm like, man, this. Yeah. I looked at the time, like, man, this game is on too late.
You're that guy.
Yeah.
Were you the guy that was mad with that delay?
Why was
it taking so long?
I was heated.
Yeah.
I was heated. When they said they starting the game at, I think it was like, I want to say 8 o'clock, 8:45 Eastern time or something. It was something crazy, I think.
I think it was 8:20, 7:20 here.
7:20 was when it was supposed to start. Yeah. We ended up getting
about 8:40. Yeah, 8:40.
About 7:40 local.
Yeah,
and that was helpful for me. As I'll tell you, I'll tell you why in a second.
I was so mad, man. I was so pissed off.
I'm not gonna lie, man. I was not gonna be out on last night's game. It was a great game. I wanted to see it all. But there are times on Thursday night football where I'm like, I'll catch the rest of this tomorrow.
Yeah, no, 100%. And that's why I was so pissed off, because I'm like, I gotta see how this game ends.
Yeah.
And it took all the way to the clock says zero.
And you're already sleep deprived this week.
Yeah, that was the problem. I was gonna say, don't blame it on you being on. Yeah. Blame it on the fact that you just got bad sleep the night before.
Yeah, nah, that's true. That's true.
Well, I think I'm going to spill the beans. I'm going to go ahead and make somebody mad here, Figgy. I've done this before. I'm going to a gender reveal party tomorrow.
Oh, okay.
My son and daughter-in-law's.
Hey, congratulations.
Okay, congratulations.
Grandbaby number three.
Which one?
Jacob and Sahar.
Okay.
Grandbaby number three on the way. The oldest one is, I think, 22 months. And here's the here's
man,
the here's
she
the,
look like she about 6 years old, man.
She oh, big is, baby.
She's tall as me. Big
she
baby.
Is tall.
She about my height.
Put that basketball in her hand already,
dude. With a volleyball,
or
basketball,
a volleyball,
whatever,
something like that.
Like yeah. She was standing next to a three year old the other day. I'm like, they're eye to eye,
man.
But here's the confession.
Okay.
Just like I did with my middle son's baby about a year ago, a little over a year ago. I'm not sure they've made it public yet, but I don't care.
Man.
I don't care.
Well, you made it public. I'm very good.
So a little backstory.
Yeah.
The last time Lopez mentioned he was going to be another grandfather,
uh-huh.
or a grandfather,
mm-hmm.
somebody was pissed off. He got an angry text from somebody.
Like,
because
we haven't said that out loud yet. I mean, publicly yet. I don't care. My granddaughter or grandson in this case. I don't know.
I'll see you just being a jerk.
Yeah. Pretty much.
Got it. Very
How about
good.
That?
All right. Congratulations.
Gender
also. Yeah.
What kind of gender reveal?
Birthday cake. It's going to be a cake.
Okay.
They didn't want to do anything too
Nothing
stupid.
Special.
You see some stupid ones out there.
I seen one that was kind of cool. It intrigued me a little bit, but it was some wrestlers.
Oh, I saw that one.
Yeah, it was.
Oh,
like
and
a,
then whoever won?
It was a short little wrestler, a little wrestler.
Yeah.
I think he's wearing like blue or something mm-hmm. like that. And then this big old wrestler is wearing pink. And so they was wrestling.
Yeah.
And whoever won it was the one that was going.
Okay.
Was going.
Yeah.
All
so right. Jacob and Sahar, if somebody texts you, yeah, it was me.
Wow.
Slime.
I don't care. It's
real villain
kid.
Stuff.
Slime it's
ball,
my grandkid.
Man.
But it's their kid. What you mean?
Yeah, it's my grandkid. Their kid.
Look at the you entitlement.
Gotta, you got to prioritize yeah. here.
That's unbelievable.
I don't care.
Look at the self-centered nature
yes,
of this guy.
Yes, I don't care.
These are my confessions. I am from Houston. I was born in Houston. But I ain't been on Houston in a little while. And Houston traffic. I was unfamiliar with your game. I had to take my aunt to the airport yesterday, which I was very happy to do, I will say. Like, this wasn't one of those, I hate to do it, right? I was
yeah.
like, I'll take to the airport, no problem. Let's
yeah.
go. I thought I was like, you know, I know it's going to be kind of a rush hour kind of time.
Bush?
Yeah, IAH for Ooh. Sure.
But he started damn near in Tomball.
Yeah.
Man.
Aunt lives pretty far out
man.
Northwest. But I was like, yeah, it's no problem. You know, just kind of budget my time a little bit. Buddy, I got in that road. I was on 290 parked. And I was like, it extra 45 minutes in what I had already pre-calculated as a rush hour time
yeah.
to get to her. And then
like
we had
home
to
alone at the airport.
We had to hustle. Yeah. And so my thought was the whole time I had anxiety because I was like, I'm going to make her miss her flight. It's an international flight. Like I can't have her miss her flight.
Yeah.
We made it. But that took me, I was on these streets after work about 3.5 hours. And I literally, the only thing that was the saving grace, I literally pulled into my apartment, got into the apartment, turned on the TV right before the game kicked. That was the saving grace.
Good thing
grace.
It was a little late.
Exactly. And so you was mad about it being delayed. And I'm sure there's a lot of people.
It worked out for you.
For me personally, appreciate it. Got to watch that whole game sitting on the couch. Watch this.
So I got a quick two-piece right here of a confession. My first one is, man, shout out to all the guys with small feet, man.
Oh, wow.
We was a win yesterday, man. Isaiah Likely, if he would have had a smaller foot, hey, they had the chance to win the game, man. So that made me think, man, shout out to all the smaller feet fellas out there, man. We could get whatever shoe we want. And we could have got that touchdown, man. I'm just saying. But the second confession is, I think I became this guy, man, with the weather delay.
So you're the old guy falling asleep early.
Yep.
And then now what?
Now, we got to build a dome, man. We got to be playing in the dome, man. We can't have no weather delays and stuff in football, man.
Everybody needs a dome, man. Everybody put a dome.
Put a roof on it, man.
That was
so irritating, man. I be thinking about stuff like this. When if it went on all night? When if it was a storm all night with lightning?
Yeah.
Game would have had
like, you would have had to cancel the first game of the season,
yeah.
which everybody was looking forward to this game, man. AFC rematch. The first game, man. We got weather delays, man. Put a dome on it, man.
You're not wrong. I agree.
And
Green Bay included.
I wasn't even that type of person for real.
Buffalo but included. Now, especially
yeah.
Buffalo.
When it started affecting games and stuff like that, man, it's time. Stop being cute, man.
Mm-hmm.
Put a dome on it.
Yeah, I'm there for even like similar reasons, but not quite the same reasons. It's like,
when we get out here and it's like damn cold and they got folks out here, you know, the fans out here sitting in the cold. I'm like, why?
Yeah, what are we doing?
The idea of football weather is stupid.
Hell, the playoffs last year.
Yeah.
Yeah, that messed up a lot of stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, we had people who had to have very parts of their body amputated.
Very effective.
You got people. You got teams playing on a random Tuesday now because they had to move the game because of what? The weather.
Yeah.
Put the dome on it, man.
But pay for your own dome, though. Don't make the city pay for that.
Of course.
There you go. Some lunchtime confessions here in the Loop, Sports Radio 610. Shout out to the 832 who did not know about the Black National Anthem. they were like, I have a confession. That song that nobody knew that they opened up with was like 20 minutes. Went on like 20 minutes. No one knew one word of the song. I did find it funny watching the broadcast, though, and seeing how uncomfortable everybody looked. And some of that was just there a whole bunch of dudes ready to play the game with an added delay, and they're just like, what are we doing?
Yeah.
We want to play football. All these anthems before the games are all funny to me anyway. But here we go. Coming up next, NFL season technically started, but we haven't gotten all the way in, especially with your Texans that start on Sunday. Let's talk about some questions that could shape this 2024 NFL season. We'll do that next.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
Funky Football Friday here in the Loop. Sports Radio 610, you got John Lopez, you got Figgy Figgy, you got myself, Reginald Atitula, hanging out with you, jamming with you, leading into a football weekend that consists of college football tomorrow, actually NFL football tonight,
yes,
which you hear on Sports Radio 610, that is Packers and Eagles in Sao Paulo, and so that should be a fun one to keep our eyes on. And then, of course, your Texans taking on the Indianapolis Colts Sunday, noon. In Indy, pregame starts at 9 a.m. with Seth and Sean here on your home of the Texans, Sports Radio 610. All right, let's do this. The NFL season has started with the kickoff game yesterday between the Chiefs and the Ravens, in which the Chiefs won 27-20, barring a toe.
If there, that much.
If there was a toe that slid back about an inch,
Figgy would have scored.
Figgy would have.
I'm just saying, man.
We don't have to talk about the fact that, you know, the ball might have been over the top. But if it was just the making sure to get
my foot would
down,
not have been on that line.
You are 100% correct. Nobody can deny such things. But let's talk about this piece from the Ringer, a guy that I'm very fond of when it comes to these pieces. Steven Ruiz, good writer on football for the Ringer, put together some questions that could shape this NFL season. I kind of want to run through some of these. Yeah. I'll bounce around on these. One of those we already kind of got a little bit of a taste of with the first game of the year, but how will the new kickoff rules affect the game? Obviously, there's the dynamic kickoff, as the NFL has tried to kind of put it, where, you know, instead of a unit would start at the opposing team, or the coverage team started at 40 instead of the 30. They can't wait, or they can't move, rather, until the ball is caught. There is a landing zone where in that 20-yard space, if the ball lands in there, you have to return it. However, kickoffs were supposedly up 70.5% during the exhibition season, during that kind of pregame situation or preseason game situation. In the regular season, in that game last night, looked like all the other kickoffs that we've been seeing prior, because all those balls were going out of the back of the end zone.
Yeah, I'm starting to worry about my theory that this is going to be much more exciting play. It's not going to be an automatic bathroom break, et cetera. We'll see. That's one game. But it's clear that special teams coordinators are making a very conscious decision. Do we think we can make a better play by getting it in the landing zone and tackling the guy inside the 20, perhaps? Or just go ahead and boot it and get it at the 30?
Yeah, I'm wondering too. Like, is this a thing where they want to keep everybody healthy too?
Well, I mean, that was definitely the impetus for them kind of changing the kickoff. Was the kickoff is the most dangerous play
in
the
sport,
right? Statistically, there is enough that we can say that. So they wanted to see if they could find a less intensive kind of play that they could use for a kickoff. And having those
closer quarters,
you don't build up as much speed and have as many of these clashes. But with that being the case, like, the reason why they called it dynamic was not just that part. They were anticipating it generating more returns, because that was also part of the impetus. Was, hey, the kickoff has gotten stale.
It was awful.
People are just taking taking touchbacks, and we're not getting action on that play, and that's already limiting the action that you're getting in this game. And so with that, the dynamic play was supposed to, kickoff was supposed to do that. And as of right now, it hasn't. I don't think that that extra 5 yards of the 25 to the 30, just like the extra 5 yards of the 25 from the 20, I don't think that that is enough of an incentive to make teams not want to, or the, for, to make teams want to put it in play and avoid a touchback that is very much possible.
I'm going to sort of just wait on that. But the Chiefs, clearly, the Chiefs said, screw it.
Sure.
We'll take the 30. They also have one of the best, if not the best, defense in the league.
That's fair.
So that's where it comes into play. Like, you know, okay, we trust our special teams. We'll boot it into the landing zone, tackle them inside the 20. We're good to go. So I'm going to wait on that a little bit.
Okay.
But I am having more doubt. I thought it would be like really something to watch. You
yeah,
know?
I thought it would be too, but it's something that we need to see. Tyler Dunn of the Go Long newsletter said either you realize that it's a contact sport and just have a kickoff or eliminate it altogether. He's in all or nothing yeah. position here. I think that'll be interesting to continue to watch. And shout out to the 281 who says they think that you'll see underdog teams take more risks with the rules. So,
yeah.
Again, we'll have more opportunities and more data to look at, I mean, even just after this weekend. All right, here's one. How will Derrick Henry fit into the Baltimore Ravens offense? We started seeing a little bit of that. How do you feel about that through one game?
Also, again, I'm not kicking the can down the road here, but I feel like last night was something of an aberration in terms of what he was running against. Chris Jones by himself and certainly the terrific Chiefs defense. He had 46 yards. I forget how many carries. Wasn't exactly stellar, but I think Derrick Henry still has one season left in him. I don't know if it's going to be 1,800 yards, but I think he's going to be effective, especially next to Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I don't know that the Chiefs are going to, I don't know that there are going to be other teams like the Chiefs that are going to make it
exactly.
that damn hard
exactly.
on the Ravens for doing that. But he didn't, I mean, clearly he was never like a burner in that way, but he did not look as explosive mm-hmm. in those very, I mean, the
he never had a chance. He was getting hit right. He was Damian Pierce-like.
that was a comparison that we have seen during the course of today already. How about this? Which Jordan Love will we get this season? Mm. Because there's a lot of Jordan Love, for lack of a better way of saying that, no pun intended, right? For him after he kind of really finished off the season well and when a lot of eyes are watching in the postseason,
mm-hmm.
he showed up pretty well, let's be honest. But first 8 games of the season, he was not good. Negative EPA when it mm-hmm. comes to expected points added. The yards per drop back was mediocre. Success rate was pretty problematic. Weeks 9 through 18, there was a clear uptick, right? Positive EPA, very positive EPA. Like mm-hmm. he was doing good things in that. And look, if you look at it as that was kind of his rookie year, you can maybe just write that away as, okay, he was figuring some things out. However, he's the dude that people will point to in some ways about, hey, you're sitting guys, you give him an opportunity to succeed. You would anticipate that he comes in more veteran-like in those first 8 weeks. It's mm-hmm. a possibility that that is some of what he is as well.
Yeah, this is one that's incredibly intriguing. I think very highly of him based on the end of the season, as you pointed out. But, I mean, you can't ignore, I mean, it's still to be determined because of the entirety of last season.
So that one is one that we'll get a little insight into tonight. Another one that we'll get a little insight into this weekend. Will Tom Brady be any good at calling NFL games? Because,
mm-hmm.
look, there's a level of kind of assumption that it will be great, right? He is probably the best player in NFL history, at least the most decorated quarterback, at the very least, something that you could be said. And he brings a lot of knowledge. However, we've seen dudes that we thought that were great players that mm-hmm. end up in the broadcast space that aren't good. He's immediately jumping into the number one team. Will this go well?
Your guess is as good as mine. Because as far as like, you know, sort of predicting it, I think he's going to be good, not great. I think he's just been programmed in such a way for damn near 25, 30 years, if you count everything, to just be, you know, protective of the game and the teams and the players. That's hard to just sort of turn off, you know? But I think he's going to be good because of his knowledge alone. Remember when Romo came in, they're like, this is the best guy I've ever heard, you know, as an analyst. And then what happened? But he was the best because he was still not far removed from the game, that he could predict plays. He could see things happening. I think we could see some of that from Brady, but as there's separation, are we going to get the real analysis, the real critique?
Yeah.
You know?
And I do think that he is a worker, so I imagine that he's probably, although if that Raiders thing comes through, I do wonder what, you know, not having some of those production meetings will do.
Yeah.
But yeah, apparently Brady said in June, quote, I can give my opinion, and if people want to listen, great, but if they don't, that's okay. So I'm at least that gives me some hope that he's willing to, you know, have some of those critiques and really give opinions as it goes through this. All right. Which rookie quarterback do you think is going to be most pro-ready? That's another question that could shape this NFL season as we continue to move along here.
Yeah, I've been a huge fan of Jaden Daniels. Before the draft, I said I thought he would be better than Caleb Williams. And I still think he could be, but Caleb Williams is better equipped. He's better equipped to make a splash, I think, with the players around him, with the weapons that he's got, et cetera. So I still like them both. I like Daniels a lot. I like Williams a lot. But we're gonna probably get more highlights, so to speak, with Williams this year.
And you think it's between those two? Like, there's none of the other ones.
I mean, Penix Jr. I didn't have high hopes on.
Yeah, but he's not gonna have an opportunity to. Yeah, that's fair.
Based on that, but what we saw in the preseason looked pretty damn good.
Yeah, and I guess how long does it take for Drake May to try and take that position? Yeah.
And there's no J.J. McCarthy.
Yeah, J.J. McCarthy's hurt. Okay. No. How about this, as we continue to move this along, some questions. Which young offensive coordinator will become the next coaching star? Because we got a real good candidate here in Houston.
It's got to be him. You mentioned Aaron Glenn earlier in the show. I think the top two candidates on each side of the ball are going to be Aaron Glenn and Bobby Slowick. And I don't think it's going to be even close. They both seem to – they're both polished. They both sound like head coaches already. And they both have certainly earned their stripes. I'm going to be just real interested to see who else sort of emerges, you know, as a coordinator, because there will be someone.
Yeah, and you're right. Bobby Slowick is the leader in the clubhouse, mm-hmm. because he was already in a place where we're pretty sure he had the opportunity to take a head coaching job. Ryan Grubb of the Seahawks offensively is one of those ones that's mm-hmm. going to be interesting. Joe Brady, Bills, is going to be a fun one too, because he would have to do more with less this season. If he's able to do something there, that will be something worth watching. Does Vic Fangio's defense still have it? Remember, there was a point in time in the NFL where that was the en vogue defense. The mm-hmm. Vic Fangio's tree of things, he's got things figured out. And that wasn't that long ago. Two, 3 seasons ago, it felt like Vic Fangio's defense was the one that was running things. He now takes over as the defensive coordinator mm-hmm. for the Eagles, a team that needed some coordinator help and love. Will that thing prove to be something that still works?
I think it's going to work in Philadelphia, but simply because I think he's got some weapons. He's got some things to work with. But again, hey, tune in tonight. I mean, it's going to be interesting to watch as it progresses over the course of the season. That's for sure. So not to hem and haw. I think yes. I think he still is going to be a successful defensive coordinator.
How much time does Jim Harbaugh need to win with the Chargers? That's a question that's really important, because there's a lot of love for the Chargers here, just in general around the NFL, and because of the way that he's a winner and all these things. But they're starting from a place that isn't the easiest to jump out of, and so there is a reasonable expectation that there's going to be a little bit of a time to get to that place where mm-hmm. the winning really hits. How long is that?
Because are you talking playoffs?
I mean, people are talking playoffs with them, so I think you probably have to talk playoffs
and success in the playoffs.
Success of the playoffs, I think you can put that away, right? Yeah. But just the idea of getting to that place with this team that they're currently dealing with.
I think maybe this year.
Okay.
You know, he's got a quarterback. And I know you're not as big a fan of Herbert as I am, but he's damn good. And you give Jim Harbaugh, you know, a quarterback, he's going to win, even with lesser talent in other places.
Definitely some of the mm-hmm. questions that are going to be necessary. One more that was in there. How long how well can the Bills replace Stephon Diggs by committee?
Well,
that's going to be really interesting to watch as well within the course of the context. Yeah, Keon Coleman's going to be really important there. I believe what's my guy? Is it Khalil? I forgot his name, and I forgot. I always hate when I do that.
I just feel Shakir, like
I believe
I know a lot of people still believe in the Bills. I don't. I know how good Josh Allen is. I do like his game. I think he's probably gonna have some success. They did a lot of slashing and burning, man.
Yeah.
And they did a lot of slashing and burning.
Shout out to the 936 who also throws up when it comes to offensive potential stars. Ben Johnson, offensive coordinator for the Detroit Lions.
For sure.
That's definitely one, because he's done a great job making sure that he's had some great talent to work with, especially offensive line-wise, making sure that Jared Goff, shiny in that offense. Mm-hmm. There you go. Some questions that might define this NFL season as we get ready for week one this weekend, kicking off with the NFL. Coming up next, let's get into this. Who needs to make which players, individual players, mind you, must, in fact, make a good first impression for your Texans against the Colts? 713-572-4610. Let's talk about that next.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about
this? I feel like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.